We all know that one person, or maybe we are that one person, who overanalyzes things to the point of being unable to make a decision. Paralysis by analysis. Now, a recent study conducted by the Brazilian Financial and Capital Markets Association revealed the way that people engage with their money is based on five personas. And these five personas can offer insight into how we manage our money over time. It's all about balancing those personas or biases that we're all prone to, such as overreacting or not acting when we should, and understanding them and how they inform our decision-making processes. Tundi Ngwane, Head of Strategic Markets at Allan Gray, you wrote an article on this recently. Welcome to the show. What are these five personas?
Michael, thank you so much for having me on the show. The study actually spoke about the builder, who's somebody who tends to grow their wealth consistently over time. The second person is quite carefree. So they tend to go with the flow, as it were. And then you get those personas that are referred to as the chameleon. And this is somebody who, regardless of circumstances, really just adapts to change. And then you have the dreamer. So typically somebody who's led by their dreams, they can definitely see where they're headed to in future, and that's what guides how they actually invest over time. And then last but not least, the planner. And typically this is somebody who is quite structured in their ways. They set out their goals and has got a very good idea as to how they're going to achieve them.
And I think no prizes for guessing which of those five personas tends to outperform when it comes to finances. Generally, the planners do come out on top, but it helps just understand in which one of those buckets you sit. How can we overcome our own personal barriers to saving based on these personalities?
I think we're actually far more likely to take action and start investing when we have a clear intention. So if I think back to the planner persona, that's somebody who very easily is able to set out their goals, measure them in rands and cents. But the reality is that for some individuals, you know, getting to that right goal, if I don't get the amount of money or the kind of investment I'm looking for, then it tends to put a dampener on my planning, as it were. And so I often speak about the fact that perhaps it's far easier to focus on intention as opposed to a financial goal. And I know that the difference between intention and goal is quite a subtle one, but you know, for me, intention is clearly less specific, but it actually pushes you to save for an uncertain future. So instead of focusing on a measurable result, the rands and the cents, intent shifts the focus to what money will bring you, like peace of mind or happiness or financial freedom. And so it then becomes a little easier to overcome that initial barrier of getting started, as it were.
It's all about how we frame things sometimes. I think that's one of Daniel Kahneman's behavioral economic gifts to society, the framing and how that can really change our approaches to things. I'm one of those people that could probably put myself into the basket of analysis paralysis. Sometimes I get planning anxiety. I look at everything that could go wrong and tend to sometimes ignore what could go right. And that means I end up sitting on the sidelines of the market saying, well, aren't we overvalued? Maybe I should just keep a little bit more in cash and wait before I get in. How does one overcome planning anxiety?
Well, you know, I think obviously with planning and anxiety, you're absolutely right. You run the risk of, as you say, sitting on the sidelines, and, you know, we know that procrastinating will lead to inaction. And so one of the ways you could overcome that is you could speak to an independent financial advisor who automatically would take the planning, you know, out of your hands, and you've almost got that voice of reason who would guide you through the planning process and make sure you overcome and you get to your objectives. Alternatively, you know, just maybe start with the basics. Understanding that the more you invest, the more freedom of choice you'll have, and pay yourself first. So the trick isn't so much on focusing on the planning as it is on focusing on the doing. So actually get started, do something.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And that's why I find a lot of the newer products to market are looking to address some of those issues. I'm thinking the likes of an Easy Equities or even ETFs that come into the market that make the actual decision quite easy, the actual process of investing, and they lower those barriers. And I think once we do that, we almost open up to ourselves and open up our own eyes as to what we can achieve and demystify, I think, some of the difficulty that is very often just manifest in our own minds. But I loved what you said about intent, because to me, intent takes it beyond just sometimes the stale and bland rands and cents. I know for some people that really excites them, but for other people, it is more about the intent and that emotional connection that they have to money.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, find something that resonates. And quite frankly, for some of us, you know, the actual rands and cents, as nice as they are, just don't resonate. But the minute you put it into perspective as something that you value, it makes that first step so much more attainable.
Well, thank you for putting it into perspective for us. Thandi Ngwane, Head of Strategic Markets at Allan Gray, with some excellent investment advice and how to use the five personas to our advantage here on Classic Business.